This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Patriots come hard. He fires to the right. It is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, and all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again. Back-to-back. Three out of four. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots wrap up the preseason at home against the New York Giants.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
It is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social on Patriots.com. I'm Mark Bertrand alongside Andy Hart. Paul Perillo will join us shortly, coming to you live from Foxborough.
Paul's actually in the poll center right now. I don't know what he's doing over there with Hartwell, but he's in the poll center.
They're working something out.
Yes.
They're working something out.
I think the first poll is going to be fixed. I don't trust it.
Darren Hartwell will also give us the polls from the Patriots Facebook page. That will be coming up in a short time as well, so you don't want to miss that. It is cold and wet in Foxborough. It's cold for this time of year. I feel cold.
Chilly might be a word. It's not cold.
It's
cold for this stadium means like 12 degrees.
It's cold for the end of August.
Yeah, seasonably cool.
Now that is a professional way to put it.
Yeah, seasonably cool.
Seasonably cool and a bit wet.
You know, we might have listeners it's Antarctica right now that are saying, you want to feel cool.
I would describe it as dank. That's the word I'm going to use today.
It is a little dank. I'm not even sure I know the meaning of that, but yes. I think it works for the environment
dank.
Tonight.
It is dank here in Foxborough, where the Patriots and Giants meet tonight. The ninth straight year that the Patriots and Giants will meet in their preseason finale.
Is that a record?
9 years in a row. I don't know if that's a record, but that's a long time.
It is a long time.
9 years in a row, Patriots
I've seen all of them.
And Giants. You've been here for every single one, Andy.
Yeah. Really puts it all
now, I think that's a record.
Puts it all into perspective. Paul's been for all of them and then some.
So you can speak at length about all nine of these games.
No. Those were out of the memory bank probably hours after they concluded each of the 9 years.
As they probably should be, being the fourth preseason game, which is normally not one that is all that important. Big question going into this game, will Tom Brady play tonight? Here's what Brady said a couple of days ago as he was talking about this game, getting ready for this game. Team was practicing this week after their loss last week to Detroit. This is what Tom Brady said 2 days ago about his chances of playing.
We want to finish strong. We've had some good practices. We've had some weeks against some other opponents, which have been good. You know, the fourth preseason game, and really to see what we can accomplish here this last week. It's been a good week of practice, so that's always a positive.
Do you have any indication that you'll play in the game?
I expect to. That's how we've been preparing. So, it's always up to Coach Belichick, but I'm ready to go.
As a competitor, is that important to you?
Yeah, I think there's always something to be gained from the competition. So I think you have to go out there and, always be prepared, and whatever, he wants to do for however long he wants to play us, that's what we're going to do. So, we're ready to go.
That was Tom Brady earlier this week saying he expects to play in this game, but as many of us would expect on the outside, the answer appears to be no for Tom Brady tonight, along with key starters. That, according to Jeff Howell of the Boston Herald, it's also been confirmed by many others at this point, that Tom Brady will not play in this game tonight, as will a number of key starters, as it's been phrased. Key starters will not be playing in this game tonight, preseason game number 4. So the question is that the right decision? And considering what happened last week in Detroit, with the way in which the Patriots performed and failed to execute on a number of levels, not just Brady, but the key starters part of it too, shouldn't some of these guys still be out on the field, or do you just shut it down and give them the week off and get ready for week one?
Shut it down. And it's almost irrelevant whether it's the right or wrong decision. It's basically what Belichick has always done. I went back and looked. There had been 11 previous fourth preseason games where Brady was the established starter, and 7 times he didn't play. 4 times he did. 2 of those were the first 2 years, 2002, 2003, when he's a young starter, kind of at the ascension point of his career. And then a couple years ago, there were 2 in a row. But more often than not, 8 times compared to 4 times, they have rested everybody. And I have no problem with it. I don't see what's to be gained. And you know, I know they have a working relationship, obviously, with Tom Coughlin and the Giants, as you said, 9 straight preseason games. You don't know exactly what you're going to see from the other side in terms of personnel. I just don't see a lot that's to be gained. And, you know, as we've learned from other teams this year, certainly Mark Sanchez and the Jets, you know, bad things can happen in preseason games. And I just, to me, they've done enough work this summer. All right, let's see what we got. We'll roll it out in the regular season. Plus, you get another preseason game coming against the Bills. So,
well, here is that history that you mentioned with Brady. 2002 and 2003, as you said, back-to-back games. He started in 2002 and played 3 series. He started the following year and played 2 series before he was done. Here's the list of guys who did start in between, in those in-between years from 2004 until 2009. To give you an idea of what the fourth preseason game is all about.
Give me a Rohan Davey.
Rohan Davey.
Yeah.
2004.
PFW's cover, Ramblin' Roe.
So Rohan Davey had the start in 2004. Do you want to guess on 2005?
2005.
I would not have guessed this.
Doug Flutie.
Yes.
Don't remember the preseason cover for PFW.
Doug Flutie, 2005. 2006. You want to guess?
We're not quite to Castle yet.
We are. Matt Castle started in 2006.
Castle Building was the cover either that year or the next year.
You don't know if that's right, Kevin. Kevin Collins hitting the buzzer. He has no idea.
No, I was in college
remember,
with you.
You don't remember that cover.
We were in college.
Castle Building and
what
Rambling
year was that, 2007?
Six, didn't you say, or seven?
Six I was in college. Seven, it yeah, sounds like Castle.
Well, six I would have been, yes. Six was Matt Castle. 2007 was Matt Castle. 2008 was Matt Castle.
Yes.
2009.
I got to go Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer, 2009. And then 2010 and 2011, Brady started 2 series in 2010, 4 of 8, 51 yards, a TD and a pick. 2011, 4 series, 5 of 9, 116 yards. And then in 2012, Mr. Ryan Mallett got the start last year in preseason game number 4. So that brings me to the next question. How much does Ryan Mallett play tonight? I assume he is going to be the starter. I don't think it's going to be Tim Tebow. It's going to be Ryan Mallett. How much does he play?
I would think he plays the first half. I'd like to see him play the whole game, actually.
That's what I would prefer.
But, you know, then it sort of decomposes late in the game, and you don't know what he's going to be out there with, surrounded by. You know, it'll be interesting to see who the other key starters are who play and don't play, to see what he's working with early and then what that leads to him working with late. I mean, has Kenbrell Tompkins elevated himself to key starter?
I was going to say, has he earned that to
probably
the point
not.
Where he's a key starter? He's still a rookie.
Probably not. So, but I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see the receiving core.
I would say Danny Amendola not going to play tonight.
Amendola out. Ridley out.
But after that, who is really, I mean, receiving-wise, who has earned it to the point where they are a key starter and they are not going to be on the field?
No one.
Nobody.
Yeah, I would say no one. And no tight ends. I would think the tight ends will all be out there. I'd be surprised if you see if Fells isn't out there, I would say it's an injury issue. Be interesting to see if Jake Ballard, because he's been the starter in the preseason, and they've extended his playing time, and he has that knee issue that he's still kind of clearly working his way back from. Be interesting there. The offensive line will obviously all sit out. Be interesting how Will Svitek is treated. Is he a backup, or is he a starter, as he's been for the entire preseason? So, interesting there. But I think just in terms of Mallett, how deep you go, all of a sudden, you don't want him necessarily, in my opinion, behind, you know, your sixth string right guard, maybe, because he is your backup quarterback. He's your legitimate backup quarterback. He has a value to this team. He's not Scrub City. Whereas some of the other players on the, as Paul likes to say, will be working at a car wash next week. And so it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds. But my long thing, I'd like to see him play as much as possible, as much as you feel comfortable him playing safety playing.
At least into the second half. That's my thought. Get him in there at least in the second half.
No, it's going to happen.
Go in and have the
and
whole
starting for the Patriots, Tim Tebow.
No, that's not going to happen.
Are you sure?
No, I don't think that's going to happen. But then
now you think, so you're not sure.
I feel confident in saying he will not start this game.
I do too, but nothing surprises me anymore.
So then here's the Tebow question. We're talking about Mallett, the other guy being Tebow. You answer one question, it's pretty much how much is the second guy going to play in Tim Tebow. But here's something a little bit more to that. Can we read into Tim Tebow's snaps tonight in terms of his chances of making the roster? Is there anything to be drawn from Tim Tebow's play tonight? He's seen his snaps go down each preseason game, didn't play at all last week. Is there anything to be read there?
No. I mean, his snaps are going to go up tonight. How dramatically, who knows? He's going to play tonight. And I think you'll gain nothing from it. He could be awful. He could be great. I don't think it has a bearing on whether he makes this team or not. I think that decision has to have been made already. You know, I don't think you can, you didn't play in the third game. You went, what, 1-for-7 for -1 yards the game before that? And okay, you come out and go 6-of-8 and up. Oh, you know what? We got to put him on the team now because he went 6-of-8 in the fourth preseason game against car wash workers, as Paul Perillo will say momentarily when he joins us. So yeah, I mean, Tebow, how much he plays is interesting. How he plays is irrelevant, in my opinion.
It is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. If you'd like to get involved, you can call us 855-PATS-500, the telephone number. That's toll-free in North America, 855-PATS-500 or 508-298-0398. You can email us throughout the course of this program. webradio@patriots.com is where you want to send your emails. If you're tweeting out, getting ready for the game tonight, make sure you hashtag your tweets related to the Patriots with hashtag PPGS for the pregame social. Paul Perillo is going to be joining us here in just seconds. I can feel it.
It was a false start earlier. He came in and realized he needed a Pepsi, so he left and went and got a Pepsi.
You guys drank them all.
I didn't drink anything.
Paul, it's good to have you aboard.
He's cranky already.
Well, welcome to the program.
Now, we could until you turned it off.
Can hear you now.
The light won't stay on. Oh, there we go.
Okay.
The light was it was blinking on and off.
Cue the circus music.
Well, I'm a little bit out of sorts. I usually sit on this angle, and I'm on this angle.
You are on
now.
A different angle now.
Yes.
Very weird. I mean, I can hit you dead on.
There was a lot of talk about the lounge chairs tonight on the Sports Hub, by the way.
Positive or negative? Positive.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Well, Bob's Discount Furniture puts together a nice recliner.
Television. Paul, just to get you caught
up. Bonded leather everywhere you sit. That's what they usually say in the commercials.
Paul, just to get you caught up on what we've been talking about, Tom Brady not going to play tonight, according to all the reports out there prior to this game. No Tom Brady. Ryan Mallett likely to get the start. I feel confident in saying that, Andy, that Ryan Mallett
I said, are you sure?
Will get the start tonight.
I'm not overly surprised by that report, but just, you know, out of curiosity, who got that scoop?
It was
credit's due.
We gave the credit before. It was first by Jeff Howe, and now it's been confirmed by a number of reporters, including ESPN Boston folks.
Okay.
How about that?
Well, I like to, you know,
I'm all about giving credit.
And at the same time, I'm going to be honest, too. If Brady's out there playing in the
NFL.
First series,
com
I also
well.
Like to know who reported it incorrectly, too.
So yeah, NFL.com.
I like to have my little ledger.
Okay, there you go. So we're talking about Tom Brady not playing tonight and mentioning how, you know, also it's not just Tom Brady, it's key starters as well. Key starters. We don't know who the key starters are. We can guess who they are. Key starters not going to play tonight. Should
Danny
any
Amendola,
of them
play? Logan Mankins.
Should any of them play?
I don't have a problem with them not playing. The only reason to me that I could think of, and I don't know, I don't want to step on your toes. I'm sure you guys just talked about this, but just for Brady with the rookie receivers, you know, maybe one or two more live game throws for a guy like Aaron Dobson. Could he benefit from those? Probably.
Nah, I'm good.
But I'm good with it. I think that the offensive line, you know, is getting healthier, you know, with Dan Conley coming back to play a little bit last week. I don't really see any need to beat on them, you know, even for a short period of time. I wouldn't, you know, I don't really have any problem at all with letting them stand on the sideline and avoid all of this preseason mess that seems to have been taken over the rest of the league.
We've also talked a little bit about Tim Tebow and whether or not you can read into anything that happens with Tebow tonight in terms of whether or not he will have a roster spot come Sunday.
Yeah, I got to think he's on or off in Bill's mind now.
It's already been determined.
And, you know, I can't imagine that you allow his performance in the fourth preseason game against what largely is going to probably turn out to be a lot of guys who aren't going to be NFL players, how that, you know, I suppose if he would perform poorly tonight, maybe that's the final nail. But I got to think that Bill has an idea in his head of what he's going to do already, and what happens tonight isn't really going to impact Tim Tebow.
Final roster cuts happening on Saturday, 4 o'clock on Saturday is when the final cutdowns are. What are the chances that some of those decisions haven't yet been made and will actually be determined by some things that happened in tonight's game? If you had to put a percentage on it in terms of what percentage of this roster in the coaching staff's mind has been set, where would you put it?
90.
Sounds
maybe
about
more
right.
than 90.
I would say probably more than 90.
Because 10% would mean five spots were open to debate.
Yeah,
you're right, 95%.
So about two or three spots you think could be determined tonight.
See, that the thing about I agree with you guys. The thing that's hard to categorize in that scenario that you unfolded there, Beadle, is where does an injury play in? You know, is the decision
assuming health.
No, what I'm saying is, do you not know Jermaine Cunningham's status because you don't know if he's healthy? Or are you already know, you know, healthy or not, like Ross Idowling. They look like, to me, from the outside, it looked like they were waiting for him to get healthy so they could cut him.
Right.
And they didn't want him playing tonight because they didn't want him getting hurt. You know, I don't know if they have made a determination on Cunningham or some of the other guys that are coming back from injuries. But, yeah, I can't imagine there's more than two, three, four at the most. A guy like James Devlin tonight is a guy I think that could solidify a spot or lose one, depending on how he plays. But I think those guys have to be few and far between.
And most of those are not positional. They're team-wide spots. They're, you know, is James Devlin going to make it over Steve Beauharnais or some linebacker, whatever it is?
Because that's the way you have to look at it.
Because I don't think they're going to change decision on who their three tight ends are or who their, you know, four running backs or five running backs are. To me, if you make a spot, you know, a fullback takes away a linebacker, something of that nature.
Yeah, especially if Gronkowski is going to be on the active roster, which is another part of that Beadle. You know,
it's a huge part of
it. If he's PUP as opposed to, you know, the roster, and it looks like he's going to be on the roster at this point, does that change your line of thinking?
Yeah, I mean, Rob Gronkowski, there's a decision to be made there. Bill Belichick was actually asked about that decision this week, talked a little bit about that, and didn't give too much insight into whether or not Rob Gronkowski would be either on the roster or physically unable to perform to start the year. But this is what Bill Belichick had to say this week when he was asked about this decision.
So when you're making a decision on a player in the PUP list and say he won't be available for the first two or three or four weeks, how does that complicate that matter, you know, that decision-making? When maybe you have to make a decision on a guy and saying, okay, he might miss two or three games and we're willing to hold the roster spot for him.
Well, every decision we make on a player comes down to two things, really: what's best for the player and what's best for the team. When those are the same, it's easy. When they're not, then you have to, something has to give. You have to make a call one way or the other. So that's the way it is with everything.
Is it hard to hold a roster spot for a player who might not be ready the first couple of seasons?
I think it's just what I said it was. Each situation is independent. Depends on the situation. Depends on what your other options are. What the injury is, how long you're talking about, what the expectations are for, you know, what kind of depth you have at that position. I mean, you know, you can go on and on. Each situation's different.
How's Rob look? Because I know he was out there yesterday, running around the
way. He's been out here every day. He's been in camp the whole. He hasn't missed a day of camp.
Gronkowski.
He was here the first day of camp. He's been doing the same thing every day.
How does he look recently? I know he's been out.
He's been doing the same thing every day.
Been doing the same thing every day?
Same thing every day.
Okay.
For those of us that have been here, it's the same thing every day.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm just... like you said, he was out in the view of the media. And
same thing every day.
Okay. There's Bill Belichick talking about the situation this week. There's not much to be taken away there. I think we can all just basically guess that Rob Gronkowski will be on the roster and not PUP to start the year. So that is a consideration with this roster. There's going to be one more guy that's without a job come Saturday because of the fact that he'll likely start the year on the roster and not on PUP.
And to Andy's point, when you're dealing with the guys like Devlin or Hooman, and you might say, well, I think Devlin can do the things that Hooman can do. Maybe I can save a little money there because Hooman's on a restricted tender, not guaranteed, obviously. So maybe you make that move, but if you do, you have to do so knowing you don't have Gronkowski. So I'm not sure Devlin can be an online tight end if you need him to be, where Hooman can, at least at the beginning of the season. And then you're dealing, I think, Andy, you make a really good point with the Beauharnais stuff, because you want body types, fullbacks, linebackers, special teams. That's where they fit in. So Andy's point, you know, because Andy was a linebacker, you know, Beadle. Did you know that?
I didn't.
He played special.
I think I've heard that.
He played special teams at the Division III level. So he knows of which he speaks. I can't even get nothing out of you. Nothing?
Just simmering.
Nothing?
I'll explode later. Oh, boy, the guy just moved the camera.
No, the Beauharnais situation.
I can't be good.
And those guys,
that doesn't look good.
Rivera, Tarpinian, Beauharnais. they're fighting guys like James Devlin for roster spots, and there might be two out of those four or one out of those four, or who knows. But whoever can provide more value on special teams, more so than what they can do on offense or defense, is probably the guy that's going to win the job.
You mentioned the Rozai Dowling cut yesterday that happened after 2 years with the organization. He was the 33rd selection overall in 2011. His Patriots career, 9 games, 10 tackles. That's what Rozai Dowling provided this team in his time as a member of the Patriots. Is he one of the worst draft picks ever under Bill Belichick with this team?
Yes.
It's got to be near the top of the list, right?
Yeah. I mean, when you consider the value perceived of that pick and, mm-hmm. you know, being able to trade it, it's like a first-round pick, all that. And they take him, they take the chance on his injury history, and, you know, we get one of those, well, he's really a top 10 or 12 talent if he can stay healthy, and then he can't stay healthy, and he does what he's been doing since high school, and he gets nicked up, and he doesn't really play. And beyond that, I would argue that when I saw him, even on the practice field, I never saw a guy that really looked all that good. Never, you know, it was never, wow, he's a shutdown corner. If he can just get healthy, he's a shutdown corner. It was, well, if he gets healthy, I guess we'll see him compete. He looked like a big, stiff cornerback with lacking the fluidity to chase receivers and things. So, yeah, I think it has to go up there. I mean, there's others. You know, Ron Brace, I think, would be in that conversation.
Another second-round guy.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of those second-round picks are in the conversation. He hasn't blown too many first-round picks where they were flat-out busts.
They've had some busts in the second round, but he's the highest pick in the second round.
He's like a first-round pick. They were praising it, right. Patriots fans, he was like a first-round pick. So if we treat him like a first-round pick, he's the biggest bust of the
Patriots. Well, I mean, at 33, that's in my mind, pretty much like a first-round pick. And
yeah,
I
except when you take Logan Mankins and play him there at a guard, it's like a second-round pick. You took a guard in the second round.
Right.
You didn't waste a first-round pick on a guard.
So, listen.
All about perception reality.
I mean, I think it could be the worst pick he's ever made.
Yeah, I think that he would have to be strongly considered for that dubious distinction because of just the lack of games that he's played. And I agree with Andy. I never saw it on the field. And he and I were lockstep on this one from the beginning. I call him a skinny version of Tabucky Jones. He just didn't look like he had the
very similar
the hips to play cornerback. He was very, very rigid. You know, he was much thinner than Tabucky, and not, I don't think, anywhere near the athlete that Tabucky was.
I mean, there's some bad names on the list of the bad picks. The Adrian Clems, Chad Jacksons, Bethel Johnsons of the world.
Yeah, but Kevin, they all did.
Virtually all of those guys contributed.
Somehow,
this guy contributed nothing.
This guy did nothing.
Bethel Johnson, I can make an argument that the Patriots won a Super Bowl in 2003 because of Bethel Johnson. Bethel Johnson won a game for you in Indianapolis that year with kick returns. And that game was the difference between playing the playoff game at home as opposed to on the road. So you could make an argument that Bethel Johnson had a huge part in winning a Super Bowl. Now, I defy you to come up with one play that Rozai Dowling made in his 2 years. Forget about,
they don't exist.
Forgetting about contributing to a win. I'm just talking about one play that you can even remember. Maybe a pass defense in the red zone in one of those games early last year. I can't even remember.
I trust
one.
You, sure.
I'll tell you, the thing I remember about that pick was that if you go back to that draft in 2011, it was the 33rd pick, and it was, oh, Bill has all night to do something with it prior to the start of the second round.
I got to plead guilty on that.
They can either trade it or they can sit there and study the board for, you know, almost 20 hours of studying that board prior to picking at the start of the second round.
I thought for sure they were getting a future one. I thought for sure they were going to get a first-round pick and probably like a lower second-round pick or something.
Instead, they decided on a guy who we were billed as, if healthy, is a first-round pick.
Which he was.
Who were Bill's butt on that?
I don't know.
From
he had a long.
Because I remember that pick got a lot of criticism, if you recall.
Well, but it also
by the national people, not the local people, of course.
The salespeople, whoever they were, I remember reading them. The way they wrote it was
that's a good way to put it. The salespeople,
top
12
talent. Just a quick chime in from the PPGS hashtag on Twitter. Michelle would like to say that I think we can add Tavon Wilson to the list soon enough of these.
He could be the next second round pick to go.
Because he's pretty bad, too.
And I think he's in trouble.
He's definitely on the bubble. And, you know, the one play everybody remembers from him, even though he has a couple, 3 picks maybe, had a magnet in his chest, it seemed like, early in the season there, the play people remember from him is Seattle giving up a touchdown that cost you a game and made people mad, bro.
So you think he'll make the roster?
I don't.
You don't think he's on? All right, here.
So you're cutting both Wilsons?
Here's some of the guys.
I think Adrian Wilson's in a lot of trouble.
I think a Wilson has to make the roster. I'd be stunned if there's no
Wilson's
on the roster.
A Wilson has to make the roster?
You think they could go without both Wilsons?
Well, especially when they cut Dowling.
They're named after footballs.
What do we got? We got, let's go over the defensive backs real quick here. You know, you have Tlaib, Arrington, Dennard, Ryan.
Locks.
Four corners.
Lock it up.
Safeties, you would figure McCourty.
Lock.
Gregory.
Lock.
And Harmon.
Locks. Okay.
Right, so that's seven defensive backs. I would put Cole in there because I like his versatility and I like his special teams ability as a reserve. You know, you're going eight. You're eight deep now. You're looking at special teams. So I like him. Yeah, I mean, I guess you're probably right. You're going to get down to one of the Wilsons.
I feel like one of them is going
to
be on the
roster. So one of them probably has to make it. I got to think they're going to have 10 defensive backs
right
on the roster. So if I'm at eight and I can't really make an argument.
And are you really just going to go McCourty, Gregory, Harmon?
No, you need somebody.
I mean, are you comfortable with that?
You need somebody.
What if not even, you know, injury-wise, but if McCourty has to go back to corner for whatever reason, Daron Harmon is now a starting safety on this team? Retro Raggy.
So does that save Adrian Wilson?
I think it saves a Wilson. I'm not sure which one it saves. Now, Based on reps in the preseason,
where does
Nate
Ebner fall into the line?
Wherever the special teams line starts.
Right.
To me, he's not a consideration on defense, so I don't consider him for defense.
See, I agree, but do you think Bill feels the same way?
Yes. Although, I will say, you know, that infamous play we're talking about with Tavon Wilson, the other side of the field, Nate Ebner was there. So, I mean, at some point last year, remember he played so much in the preseason, made a couple plays.
Well, he was making these interceptions on plays that you call, you know, magnet in the chest. And all of a sudden, he was out there at the first 4 or 5 weeks. He was.
No, I'm talking about Ebner.
Yeah, but in the preseason, he was getting the ball thrown to him.
And he was
constantly
making breaks. He got burnt once, and we were like, ooh, that's going to happen again. And ever since that point, he's really fallen. And this preseason, I haven't seen him take hardly
any. Well, he's been hurt a lot, too,
but
I haven't seen him taking any
reps. I mean, I never saw reps that he was getting on
defense. So are we forgetting somebody? Are we forgetting about a safety?
I don't know. Are you?
Yeah, I think you're right. A Wilson has to make it.
Wilson has to make it.
It's rare that you can convince Paul Perillo of something that he doesn't necessarily buy into.
Well, in my roster breakdown, I had Adrian Wilson on. But the more that time has gone by, the more I think I'm wrong.
All right. Some of these bubble guys.
You did too.
Some of these bubble guys. Tell me if you have these guys.
You don't remember who you picked?
I can't remember what I had for breakfast.
Well, tell me what you think right now.
Is
Tebow going to make it?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Let's just keep saying yes
you
and no.
Just, you know.
Leon Washington.
Yes.
Yes. But I really think it might be a no. I'm going to cover a lot of bases
here.
That's
ridiculous.
Brian Morey in the house.
LeGarrette Blount.
Yes. See? I didn't cover any bases there.
There you
go.
Brandon Bolden.
No.
No.
Brandon Bolden is out, according
to you
guys. I
think he's going
to
go on
Are you going to pick a Wilson or not?
Yeah, pick a Wilson. Yeah.
Pick which Wilson will make the team.
I'll pick Adrian Wilson to make the team.
I'll pick Adrian.
That means Tavon Wilson is out.
So they're playing, you know, this little scenario
they
out.
They might both be in. I mean, I only got to eight.
Oh, yeah.
They could both make it.
That's no fun. We're playing the yes or no game, Paul. That's no fun to say.
You asked me. I said Adrian.
All right, then. How about, let's think of some of the other bubble guys here. Jermaine Cunningham.
He's another
I mean, that's a guy.
I think he goes to IR.
Yeah, he's not on the roster. He will not be playing for the Patriots.
He could be the IR designated to return if they wanted to do it right away. I wouldn't do that.
Why in God's name would you ever do that?
I just said I wouldn't do that.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. He yells at you before you even finish your sentence.
That's dumber than using that spot on Vicente Shanco like they did last year. I mean, if Brady goes down with a relatively mid-level injury early in the year, I want him to come back. That's what the rule was designed for star players to come back.
I certainly want it for a player of higher import than Jermaine Cunningham.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
That would make sense. How about some guys that you wouldn't expect, like Daniel Fells?
I think he's on the team, but it's health-related. Whatever their situation is with his shoulder, I still think, you know, he's one of the best 53 or he's one of your best three tight ends. Fells is one of them.
Daniel Fells.
No.
No, you're a no on Fells.
No. I agree with Andy's characterization of Fells, but I think he's hurt.
So you believe Hooman is safe then, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I think Paul's cutting everybody. He's got like 43 guys
on
the roster.
We're going to have like a 40-man roster by the end of this. This is a bloodbath.
I think Hooman is safe because Gronk is going to be on the roster. See, that's where everything – a lot of projections that people had Gronk on PUP. I know mine did. And I think Andy's did. I think he's now going to be on the roster based on the way it seems to be trending.
Who is your surprise cut at this point? I know everyone had these early in camp. Right now, just days before the final cutdown, who's the surprise cut?
Surprise cut would be Adrian Wilson.
I'm going to say none because I feel like we're talking about a group of 6-8 guys that are considered on the bubble, and a lot of them are relatively big names. You know, whether you're talking about Leon Washington, Adrian Wilson, Tavon Wilson as a second-round pick in his second year, a third-round pick like Beckett in his second year. Some of those guys will be gone, and their names will make it surprising, but really we've been talking about it throughout camp that they could all get cut.
Well, it's like Dowling, you know, he's a third-year guy, second-round pick, and he got cut. But I don't think he really qualified as a surprise. I think we all could see it coming.
It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, 855-PATS-500, the toll-free number for you, or 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. And don't forget, when you're sending out your Patriots tweets, use the hashtag PPGS on Twitter. Also, hit up the Patriots Facebook page, facebook.com/New England Patriots. Get on the polls. Darren Hartwell in our poll center will be updating us shortly on what's going on with the polls. And coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Schwartz of the New York Post talking some Giants football as we get ready for preseason game number 4, Giants and Patriots, coming up tonight at Gillette Stadium. That's next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart, only on the Patriots Facebook page.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. With power comes responsibility. And NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
It's time to go behind enemy lines. Joining us in studio here in Foxborough. Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, ready to talk about some Giants as they get ready for this preseason game. Ninth straight year. We were talking about this earlier, Paul. You weren't here. Ninth straight year the Patriots and the Giants have met in the preseason finale, and I'm sure, Paul, you remember each one of those games in detail, I'm sure.
Well, I love this as the last preseason game because you don't have to get on a plane and go, which is good. I just hope tonight's lives up to the 6-3 classic of last year, which, of course, with Tim Tebow quarterback,
is a possibility.
Six might be
could be 4-2.
Well, I was going to say be more like 6-5.
It's a strong possibility.
Well, wait till you see the collection of quarterbacks after Eli Manning.
But that was.
Are we going to see Eli Manning tonight?
12 to 15 plays. This is what will happen. If the Giants come out and have a 10-play drive, score, Eli and the starters are coming out. If they go 3-4 plays, they'll come in for another series. The offense has been terrible this summer, terrible. And Tom Coughlin usually likes the starters to play a series or two. That's all they'll play. You hope nobody gets hurt. But, yeah, Eli's definitely starting the game.
Yeah, they have struggled. And I watched a little bit against Indy, I think, was one of the nationally televised games that I saw. And I saw a little of the Jets game. It just doesn't seem like Eli is anywhere close to where we're accustomed to seeing him.
Well, he's not, but, you know, as always, there are reasons. First of all, I don't think he's incredibly sharp right now, but the offensive line is in all state of flux. David Boss is not playing. David Deal's got a thumb that needed surgery. So this is like the third iteration of the offensive line tonight. This could be the line they go with for the Cowboy game in the opener, which has Kevin Booth moved from left guard to center, the rookie Justin Pugh at right tackle, and a guy, James Brewer, who has never started a game in the NFL, moved into left guard. That's what tonight's offensive line is, and if David Boss doesn't get back, that's probably what the line will be for the Cowboys, which isn't great. Also, don't forget, Victor Cruz is out, got a bruised heel. He's the big playmaker, and Akeem Nicks really has kind of been coasting through this summer. Yeah. He had a lot of injuries, played a little bit in training camp, in and out, so he's kind of not giving it his all now either. So there's reason to think that the Giants' offense will be a lot better in 8-9 days.
I don't want to turn back the clock for you total, but Jake Ballard created some controversy when he jumped here, and that's fine, and that's sort of in the past. But what I want to ask you is what we're seeing from him now is a guy that, A, he's still limping. He's still sort of working on one leg, but B, hasn't caught the ball well all summer, had a lot of drops in training camp. And I want to know, pre-injury, what was your memory of what Jake Ballard was and what maybe his ceiling was going to be as an NFL tight end?
Jake Ballard surprised everybody around the Giants, including me. I'm no expert, but he was a big, strong guy. He was a pretty good blocker. I thought he would be no downfield threat at all. He was a downfield threat for the Giants. He caught a touchdown pass here in a regular season. You know, not on a long pass, but he was a good, tough, hard player, very popular in the locker room. A good guy. He gelled with the New York media. He was a good player. He was no star, but the Giants certainly wanted to keep him. But, you know, that injury in the Super Bowl was he tore the MCL. And then I think when he went, remember, he went to try to play and he was jogging and he tore ACL or vice versa, whatever it was. You know, that's a catastrophic injury. So, but he caught the ball with the Giants. So maybe his legs are screwing up his head. He caught the ball often with the Giants, which is why he made the team.
Defensively, they're still working to get that secondary straightened out in New York. How has the progress been there?
Well, Antro Roll has a sprained ankle. He's, like, questionable to play today. If I'm Tom Coughlin, I don't play him at all. Corey Webster, questionable to play today. He's had groin and knee. I don't think he'll play. Maybe a couple of plays, but probably not much. You know, they lost the starting safety, Stevie Brown. Now, last year at this time, Stevie Brown was a guy who was third year in the league. He was going to make the team, probably a special teamer. And all of a sudden, Kenny Phillips, their former first-round pick, can't stay on the field. They throw Stevie Brown in there. He gets 8 interceptions, and he breaks the Giants. Now, when you break a Giants single-season record, we're going back a lot of years, right? You know, sure. Y.A. Tittle, Sam Huff, we're going far back here. For most interception return yards in a season, it seemed like every time he got the ball, he returned it 20, 30 yards. Last week, he got hurt doing what he does best. He caught a deep interception, runs it back 25 yards, pivots, no contact, tears his ACL. So that's a loss. It's not, you know, Ed Reed or Troy Polamalu, but he was a starting player, one of the biggest playmakers on the defense. Now they have to go with a guy, Ryan Mundy, who was 4 years with the Steelers, special teamer, and he's going to be the starter. So that's who they have to go with. But, yeah, I mean, it's a... If all things go well, it can be a decent secondary, not a great secondary.
Where is Jason Pierre-Paul in his recovery, and is he going to get back to being that elite guy?
He's probably on the couch in Parsippany or East Rutherford right now, getting ready to watch the Giants play. He's going to be very touch and go for the opener. Look, the guy's coming off back surgery. They said it would be 3 months. It's right on the cusp of 3 months.
Sounds like Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah. Very similar situations.
It's well, without the fanfare of right. And without the video montages that Rob Gronkowski gives us. But, you know, if I would have to guess on it, I would say he probably does not make the opener. But you know what? If he can get 14 great games, the Giants will take it, or 15 great games. You know, the opener is important, but this guy's a young guy. He's 24 years old, coming off back surgery. He needs to be healthy. He jumped in the other day in practice and did some team stuff. Look, check back with me Wednesday. If he's on the field Wednesday for practice, then maybe it's a go.
How important is he to the team's success?
He's as important. After Eli Manning, he's probably the second most important guy on the team, because last year, you know, the Giants' defense is predicated on a pass rush with four guys. I mean, nobody knows that better than the Patriots.
Right.
The Giants won two Super Bowls doing that against the Patriots. You know, they don't like the blitz. They don't have a great blitz scheme or package. And they don't have, quite frankly, players who are great at blitzing. So they get pressure with their four guys. 2 years ago, he had 16.5 sacks. He was a man-child. Last year, with the bad back, only 6.5 sacks. They need him to be the JPP of 2011. He is, you know, sometimes you say guys can be okay. They need him to be great.
Fantasy owners everywhere are wondering about the running back competition. Is it going to be Andre Brown or David Wilson?
Well, fantasy owners are going to be in for a bit of a conundrum here, because David Wilson is going to get the bulk of the carries. He's the starter, but I don't think he's going to get a lot of the touchdowns. Now, if he can score like he did on the first play last week on an 84-yard touchdown, that's great.
That was the Jets, though.
Well, it was the Jets. But the Jets have a pretty good defense, though. They do. When you shut the Jets out, then you can say it's just the Jets. But he said, you know, but Andre Brown last year had, what, 8 touchdowns in very limited action? Yeah. He's a good goal line back. He's 225 pounds. So, you know, fantasy holders beware. David Wilson's going to have more yards. Andre Brown's going to have more touchdowns. The Giants just hope together they can be kind of what Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacob was, or, you know, what, you know, Andre Brown and Ahmad Bradshaw was. You know, the Giants like a two-back. They've been very successful with that situation. Look, David Wilson is here. He was a first-round draft pick last year. You know, that's why Ahmad Bradshaw's not here. You don't give up Ahmad Bradshaw if you don't have anybody waiting the wings. This guy is a freaky good athlete, but I'm not worried about him breaking long gains. My issue with David Wilson, what I'm waiting to see, is on 3rd and 2, on 2nd and 1, can he get those yards? Those are going to be more important. They know he's going to bust off the long ones. He's that kind of talent.
You obviously talked about JPP coming back from injury. Cruz is nicked up. You said Eli's been a little inconsistent or whatever. What's the temperature of Giants fans right now? What do they think this team can be? What's the upside to this team?
There's always optimism with the Giants. You know, I mean, and you know, you have a quarterback in the prime of his career. You know, there's no rebuilding years. There's no, we'll just try to be 500. You know, it was very interesting. Jerry Reese, at the start of training camp, he doesn't talk a lot to us, you know, and in big groups, very rarely. But he gave his State of the Giants address the second day of training camp, and he said, this team has not made the playoffs 3 of the last 4 years. Everyone is on notice. Pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because, yes, that's right. They didn't make the playoffs 3 of the last 4 years, and that 1 year they did. Oh, yeah, they won the Super Bowl.
Right. You know? You know, oh, yeah, that thing happened.
Oh, yeah, they won the Super Bowl. So, you know, I mean, everyone's mindset is the Giants have won 2 Super Bowls since 2007. But they are a team that's won 9-10 games. They won 10 games 1 year and didn't make the playoffs. The 2 years they won the Super Bowl, they won 9 games. This is not a dominating team. You know, the Patriots, you can chalk up for double-digit wins every year, different division, you know, different quarterback, different coach, all that stuff. But the Giants feel that they are a double-digit playoff team. And I think they probably are, but I think their division is very, very difficult to handicap. You know, how many games is RG3 going to play? What are the Eagles? I don't think anyone knows what the Eagles are. What are the Cowboys? The Cowboys are always a tough team to read, you know, always waiting for Tony Romo to kind of take that next step. So I think the Giants are unquestionably a playoff contender, but I'm not so sure they're better than they were last year. The defense was ranked 31st last year. I mean, the defense was not good. And guys like Justin Tuck, I mean, does he have anything left in the tank? I don't know. I tend to say that he's really on the downside. So you can paint the scenario where the Giants are going to win 11 games. You can also, you know, paint the scenario where they're going to win 8 games. So, you know, hedge your bets, 9, 10. I think that's the kind of team they are.
Just bigger picture, piggybacking on that, why do you think they've been as inconsistent because I totally fall into that. And
or
I know
consistent from year to year. They're always going to win 9 or 10 games. They're never going to give you that big
right,
year.
But,
how do you look at it?
But, like, why do they seem to me like that should be a playoff team. And then what happens in the playoffs, you know, we see here every year. I mean, sometimes they make a run, sometimes they don't. But it seems to me the Giants are too talented to not be in the playoffs pretty much every year.
Well, I mean, I think that is a feeling that most of the fans, and there's no question that's what the front office thinks. You know, the front office thinks this team is a playoff team. They think they like the talent on this team. I think they're over-evaluating some of the talent, especially defensively on this team right now. You know, like I said, what is Justin Tuck? What is Corey Webster? Are they starters on two Super Bowl defenses that are still good players, or are they on their way down? You know, the Giants are consistently good, but they're not consistently great. I think the better question is, what the heck happened to this team in 2007 and 2011, where they became this unbeatable juggernaut that won the Super Bowl? The best this team has been was 2008. You know, they don't forget they won their last. They lost to the Patriots in 2007. Remember that
yep,
really
finale,
classic
yep.
last game.
Yeah.
Then they won 4 straight playoff games. Then they went 11-1 the first 12 games of 2008. That was the best this team has been. They were a dominant team. They were a 15-1 team over what you would call a full season. Then Plaxico Burress shot himself. Then things unraveled. And so that was when they were a dominant team. Now, they've been dominant in the postseason for those two runs. But, you know, it's not a great team. And Eli is not, I don't think, a classically great Tom Brady-type quarterback. But he has moments where he's unbeatable.
It's interesting. You know, because you look at him and you watch Eli. And I definitely put him in the great category. But I guess what defines great is the consistency, and he probably
and Coughlin, I would say the same thing. And I mean, when you talk about teams and how they excel or consistency, usually gets back to the coach and the quarterback and how that plays out.
You know what's incredibly strange? That Tom Coughlin has a reputation now that his teams always go, if you look at it, they're 7-1 or 6-2 every year under this guy, which is tremendous. And then a lot of the years their second half record is always worse than their first half record. His teams seem to just not collapse, but they're near collapse, and they either don't make the playoffs. Last year, they were in prime position to make the playoffs, and they have two horrendous games against the Ravens and the Falcons. I mean, non-competitive, and it cost them a chance at the playoffs. So you have this team that really goes on a downslide at the second half of the seasons, except 2011 and 2007, where they became...
Patriots fans really like that you keep emphasizing that.
they're an interesting team. They're a team that they want to talk about the D-word, dynasty, yet they're how can a team that's not a great team be considered, maybe, if they win another one, a dynasty?
Right.
They are a strange team to handicap, I'm telling you.
Before we let you go real quick, you happen to mention that the front office thinks they're a consistent playoff team based on talent. Is there any divide then with Coughlin for not making them a consistent playoff team?
Well, I don't think, you know, look, Tom Coughlin won two Super Bowls with this team, and he's 67. He'll be in a couple of days, he'll be 67 years old. So, you know, he's getting up there. He's not going to be around forever. But I would not characterize this as, you know, he better make the playoffs or else. Jerry Reese and John Mara are not firing Tom Coughlin anytime soon. I mean, he has that much equity. He's not, his head's not in the clouds. He works hard. Jerry Reese told the story that one day in the offseason, he got there like at 7, 8 in the morning, and he doesn't see Tom in his office, and he goes on the field, and Tom is running like 100-yard wind sprints.
And
and Jerry Reese said, the guy's a maniac. You know, the guy, so he's not slowing down. He's got tremendous stamina, but they feel it's a good team. They feel it's a very good team. The guy I think is in the crosshairs is the defensive coordinator, Perry Fuel. I mean, he needs to have a good year. He won the Super Bowl in 2011 with a good but not great defense that, sorry, Patriots fans, played great in the playoff run. And last year, as I said, the defense was 31st in the league. And so the defense better pick it up this year. That's all I'm saying.
He is Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. You can follow him on Twitter at @NYPost_Schwartz. Paul, thanks for coming downstairs here and visiting with us on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
I like being behind enemy lines, although I have to admit, I thought the enemy lines might be a little more luxurious than this.
Well,
got a lot going on in the studio.
It's very busy.
Later. Andy and I have to do some TV stuff over here during the game.
Where's the green room with all the food and everything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they don't really.
Yeah.
It's right outside that door, I promise.
You know those relatives that no one talks about? That, you know, they're just sort of there, like that one uncle that's kind of crazy. That's how Andy and I get you.
Whoever booked me for this said Tom Brady would be here.
Yeah.
Giselle Buncher would be. I got nothing.
Wings, beer.
Not even a snack. Nothing. Can't offer him anything.
I can't even give you a bag of chips.
Yeah. I brought my own water.
We got waters. We got cold waters.
We do have water. That's the one thing we do.
That's the one thing we've got. Paul Schwartz from the New York Post, thank you again. We'll take a quick timeout and we'll return with your emails, your phone calls, and continue on here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Don't go anywhere.
More hard-hitting facts and analysis coming up next on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. With power comes responsibility. And NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Telephone number, 855-PATS-500. 855-728-7500. 508-298-0398 as well. Please send in your emails, webradio@patriots.com. And when you're tweeting prior to tonight's Patriots-Giants matchup, make sure you are using the hashtag PPGS. Also, you want to check out the Facebook page for the New England Patriots, facebook.com/New England Patriots. That is where you take polls. That is where you give your opinion on the matters related to this game. And we go to the poll center now to talk with Darren Hartwell, who has the latest polls. Darren, what do you got?
Poll center is hopping tonight.
Oh, it's hopping.
Oh, yeah. So we're focusing on the running backs tonight. Got some running backs on the bubble looking to prove themselves. The question is, who will lead the Patriots in rushing tonight?
You want to guess, Andy? This is where you usually give your guess.
He's finishing his cookie.
Balls
deep in LeGarrette that sandwich. Blunt.
I was going to say Blunt. Blunt, too. But
you would all be correct.
Oh.
According to the fans.
What are the percentages on that?
LeGarrette's at 50%.
50?
Brandon Bolden coming in second at 23%. We got Stephen Ridley at 19%. Shane Vereen and Leon Washington both at 4%.
Leon Washington would be funny.
Yeah, well, I mean.
And Ridley may not even dress, so.
If Leon Washington gets carries tonight, does that just completely end his tenure?
I won't feel good about it. Certainly will not feel good about it.
Yeah, and doing the pregame hit before the before this.
What pregame hit? This is the pregame show.
This is our pregame show.
No, this is the pregame show.
Pregame show.
Opposed to Dunkin' the Donuts show, by the way, Patriots, which Mark is also on.
I'm on a lot of shows.
The most pompous show on the earth. The show. We're the show.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
I've never actually watched it. I just think the name of it is pompous. The show.
I don't make the names.
The show.
Go ahead. Continue with your thought.
This is a show right here. This is a show.
Continue with your thought.
I forget what I was. No, Leon Washington. If Julian Edelman, might as well say when Julian Edelman is unavailable for a game, who do you want returning punts if Leon Washington is not around?
Josh Boyce.
That might be a consideration. He's the kick returner.
Like that? See what I did there?
He's another punt returner, and he's Vereen insurance.
Well, Danny Amendola can do it, and we've seen Bill put Welker out there endlessly, and I know there's an injury history with one and not the other.
Yeah,
but
that would be a real
risk. He's never really hesitated to do something like that. If it's a one-game thing, I'll put Amendola out there.
He won't keep Washington because of that, but it might be a factor.
There is savings with Washington, too. His cap number, if he's on the team, $1.2 million, and if he's cut, it's $360K.
Yeah, I'm not a
– I got a question.
I know you're not
big
on that.
What are we saving all this money for?
I know you're not big on that.
Why do we want to be $20 million under the cap instead of $10 million?
Because you never know when you may need a little cap space, Andy.
For what?
You never know.
In the middle of the season, other than re-signing Rob Ninkovich or Devin McCourty – and
Brandon Spikes?
By the way, none of those should take like $100 million, so – what do
you know
I need all this cap money for?
You shift some money around. It's never a bad thing to have cap.
It's not like Julius Peppers just became available or JPP just became available and I need my $20 million to go get him.
Mark, those kinds of things are – yeah, Andy gets very angry about a lot of things, but you'll get used to it.
No reason to be that angry.
Wait till like week 8 when he's really cranky. When there's a significant amount of money involved, when you have a guy that has like a $5 million cap hit, Sean Ellis. How about Sean Ellis? Give him a Snickers. I just caught
give
that.
Him,
I like
him
that.
A Snickers. This is what you guys always do. You change
my argument. What would my character be?
like a guy like Sean Ellis, they brought in a couple years ago, $4 million. If you could save $4 million on the cap by cutting a guy like that, then I could see it. But
yeah, but the money was irrelevant. He sucked.
No. That's what I'm saying. You have a guy who's not really going to give you much, and you have significant savings.
No, but you didn't know he was not going to give you much. You paid him $4 million because you thought he was going to be worth $4 million.
I'm just using the salary. I'm not using the example. Listen.
And it was a bad example.
You really aren't like a hothead. It's unbelievable. You're a hothead.
It's warm in here.
Fred's right about you.
You know, I'm emotional.
My point is, I'm not sure that you make a roster decision based on, you know, what is it, $800,000?
It's like everybody wants
cap space.
We're going to cut Fells because he makes $1.4 million, and we're going to cut this guy.
You know what this gets to the heart of?
That isn't how.
This gets to the heart of it. The Beatle actually think there's such a thing as no cap space in the NFL. He thinks that's a legitimate.
I didn't say there is no cap space. I just say it's not a bad thing to have cap space.
Yeah, it's the one thing that your boss is actually right about. The cap is indeed.
Oh, my boss? Now he's my boss?
Yes. He's everybody's boss. Just ask him.
It's his show, his station.
It's not my boss. with that being said, let's go to the phones. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number if you want to jump on board. Chester is in Oregon. What's up, Chester? Chester.
All right. Is Kevin not in there?
I'm going to say host error. Did you drop him?
No, he's still there. I'm going to put him back on hold.
He's on the air.
We'll try one more time.
Maybe he has you on hold.
Chester. That's unfortunate. I like his
Chester's a good caller.
I like his lightning fast hits. He has a take.
Felger would like Chester.
He has a take, and he gets in and out. I like his takes. Well, I like his hits. I'm not necessarily on board with his takes.
That was quick. So, anyway, back to this program, 855-PATS-500. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Some pretty big news today related to the NFL, something that's kind of been an ongoing issue in the NFL, and there's been a lot of discussion about it, and that is the head injury and concussion issue. The NFL today reached a tentative agreement, a tentative settlement worth $765 million over concussion-related brain injuries among 18,000 former players. According to the AP story here, agreeing to compensate sufferers, pay for medical exam, and underwrite research, the agreement, which is subject to approval by a federal judge, was announced on Thursday. It came just days before the start of the regular season. More than 4,500 former athletes, some now suffering from dementia, depression, or Alzheimer's, that they blamed on repeated blows to the head, have sued the NFL. They accused the league of concealing the long-term dangers of concussions and also rushing players back onto the field. Under this settlement, individual payouts would be capped at $5 million for former players with Alzheimer's, $4 million for those diagnosed after their death with CTE, and $3 million for players dealing with dementia. This proposed settlement applies to all retired NFL players under the date that this judge will approve the settlement. That date is obviously not yet determined. It's Judge Anita Brody that this will go in front of. But the judge that actually handled the settlement and brokered this and mediated it is Judge Lane Phillips, who brokered the agreement and basically made it clear that after this is settled and this is agreed to, it's pretty much the end of the concussion-related lawsuits and issues and back and forth that have gone on between the league and former players. Also included in this, a document that was a Q&A to answer some questions that people may have about it. And Judge Phillips wrote this: for a variety of reasons, the underlying theory of this lawsuit about what took place in the past would be difficult to replicate in the future. Everyone now has a much deeper and more substantial understanding about concussions and how to prevent and manage them than they did 20 or even 10 years ago. And the information conveyed to players reflects greater understanding. In addition, the labor law defenses asserted by the NFL would represent a very substantial barrier to asserting these kinds of claims going forward. The combination of advances in medical research, improved equipment, rules changes within the league, there's a greater understanding of concussion management, and the enhanced benefits should and hopefully will prevent similar lawsuits in the future. It seems to me like today was a pretty big step in the NFL putting this issue behind them and moving on. We've heard so much about concussions for, what, a few years now. It's become a real forefront issue in the league.
Yeah.
It seems like this is it. They've now reached a settlement in the lawsuits. They're going to move forward, and they're being told, players, former players being told, or current players who are not yet retired, this is it. You know what concussions do now. We are now aware of the possibility of, you know, sustaining a concussion and what some of the medical drawbacks may be down the road for you if you participate in the game of football. It seems like this thing is wrapped up neatly with a bow tie.
And seemingly very well for the NFL.
I mean, yes, we talked about it. It's over 20 years, the payments. And you said it was like $1 million per team.
What it comes out to, it's about $24 million per team
over
if you divide it up over 20 years.
So, I mean, there were people that thought concussions in this litigation would be like the downfall of the NFL.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
billions and billions and this and that. I mean, this kind of seems like, all right, that's manageable. We'll move past it.
And that's what I think is the bigger thing, Andy, is what you're saying.
Sort of anticlimactic.
Right? I mean, that's what we're
really... It just felt like this was like the biggest issue hanging... People thought rules changes and everything was about this litigation based on concussions. And it's like, all right, we've settled.
In terms of keeping the game intact the way it is, as a football fan, I think today's developments, you should say, well, that's good.
That's phenomenal.
It doesn't mean this league is going to change dramatically from what it is now. I mean, I'm sure there will be more research, more education on the topic. But in terms of dramatic changes to the game or being the downfall of the NFL or the downfall of the game on the whole, whether it be from the youth level all the way up to the NFL, it seems like these are the dangers. You now will know what these dangers are.
Don't sue us.
It's not our fault. It's not our fault anymore if you want to play football. You're now aware of what these issues are.
I don't follow this stuff anywhere near as closely as obviously you guys do. I know Andy does. I didn't really look at it the same way. I didn't look at the litigation as being a possible downfall for football. I looked at the ripple effect of all the information that we're now getting on concussions and their and the effects of these things. I think the NFL got in trouble, I think, and I know Andy agrees with this, by the way they handled concussions, by the lack of information and flat out incorrect information they gave the player. I mean, doctors were blatantly just telling players to go back in the game.
Right.
You know, you were quote unquote dinged up. Just get in there. Don't be a baby, and whatnot. I look at I don't think the NFL is going to end. I don't think the Armageddon, predictions are going to be accurate. But I do see, and I've seen it on a youth level already. Fewer people wanting to play football because of this stuff and parents being very, very concerned about allowing their children to play. And I think that you're not going to see that manifest itself for a long time. It's going to take a long time before you get the final determination on whether or not this is going to impact the NFL. This is going to start at the youth level and filter into high schools. There's, colleges are dropping the sport at lower levels all over the place. And one of the reasons for that is insurance. It's too expensive to field a football team because of the liabilities.
But isn't that become limited with this? I mean, I guess not, because that's the NFL, not that. But feel like the financial fears, if this is an example, are being lessened.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and I think that's where, and I know you and I talked about this a lot. We talk about this a lot with Andy's just having a grand old time showing me all his fancy cookies that he has over there.
But let's just hold on a second. Andy's eating a cookie right now, and is that a Texas Rangers?
Yes, that was the team he coached, the Rangers.
We had our breakup cookout on Sunday. There were a few cookies left over.
Okay, so he's eating a cookie with a Texas Ranger.
Did you host that?
Coach Steve hosted it. I want to thank Ian Hamlet's family for bringing these along. They were very good.
Way to go, Ian.
So there's that, but continue your thought, Paul.
I think the NFL was very concerned about their financial implications and whatnot, but I think the bigger story, the bigger impact is this going to stop people from playing as more and more information is learned about the effects of these things? Now, I think you've seen a little of that at youth levels. Like I said, it's going to be years. It could be 20 years before you see any difference at the NFL level. I'll tell you, the quality of play has really gone down, and the pool of great Division I college athletes has really gone down. You won't know that for a long, long time.
But you'll be around to tell us, right?
I hope so. I'll probably be sitting right in this seat because I got nowhere else to go.
I think at the youth level, I think you have seen attitudes change. With
parents.
I
can just tell you, my brother is a longtime Pop Warner football coach.
Yeah,
and he's the town he coaches in. He has 20 kids on his team. 20. The higher level above him has 20 kids in the team. Those are ridiculously low numbers for the city that he coaches in. Traditionally, they're dropping. They're not. Parents are very concerned about this, and I don't necessarily think this is a I agree with Andy. This is, I think, a good outcome for the NFL.
Yes.
Financially.
Yeah, I think it is. I don't know how you could say otherwise.
What ends up happening to the sport, I think, is a story that hasn't even been started to be written.
Yeah, and I don't think that's just an NFL thing. I think that's the entire sport. And I actually think it started to affect some high school numbers.
Oh, absolutely.
In terms of number of kids that
I don't have the data in front of me, but you're absolutely right, Mark. I mean, I used to work at the Herald before I did this, and I covered a lot of high school football games. And I see high school games now, and there's nowhere near the amount of backups on the sideline that there used to be back when I covered this.
855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number, 508-298-0398.
What do you got?
I
was going to say, you were one of them. The backups. He was one of the numbers guys. You know, he had the cord and the clipboard.
What is the number one thing?
Hey, Coach, what was the
number one thing you make fun of me about my high school football career?
Shying away from contact.
So how did I do that if I was on the bench?
Try a JV photo.
Oh, yeah, they put a lot of JV photos in the yearbook.
I do have some questions on Twitter coming through about specific players, sort of bottom of the roster guys.
Go ahead.
One of them, Robert Grasso, sent in a couple different tweets. One, he asked about Harrison, and I'm assuming he means
Marvin.
Mark.
Oh,
and he is on NFI, so he doesn't really become an issue until after 6 weeks. He's the bigger receiver slash maybe H-back down the road guy out of Rutgers who had a broken foot and didn't practice and then went on NFI. But the next question I like is, what about Michael Buchanan, Paul Perillo? Where does he fit for this football team? Does he fit for this football team?
I think he's got a shot. I certainly would give his chances would be greater than Jake Beckett's. I think we've seen Beckett play.
He's been ahead of him, seemingly.
He's played less and everywhere. After Buchanan. I think he's, and Beckett's gotten pushed around a little bit, I think. Buchanan, I think, is one of those guys I wouldn't pack if he gets cut. I wouldn't pack. I wouldn't go anywhere. I think that they have some – I think they look at him as a potential, a guy with potential. If he makes it, he makes it. If not, I would imagine that they would try to get him on the practice squad and, you know, and keep him around. I think there's some – I want to see more. I want to see more from him. I think there's some athleticism there. And I remember you making fun of me when I wrote his draft profile. And
yeah, he was great
when
he played with a first rounder.
Absolutely.
Then the first rounder left, and his ability did too, seemingly. But it'll be interesting. Based on just what I've seen, sure, I'd love to see more from him. I've seen more from him than I've seen from Beckett in the last year plus, and that's been a disappointment. That's a disappointing pick. I really thought, you know, you bring in this guy from the SEC, sort of just a consistent 10-sack guy, couple years, production in the SEC. Okay, you know, he's not going to be a star, but he'll have some sort of role, sub-package, something, backup. And he has just been
a depth player.
Nothing.
Is that what he's been?
Absolutely nothing.
13 game day inactives last year.
Healthy scratch. And then this year, like right to start the year, Buchanan's ahead of him. We're watching Buchanan play. Like, why? What's there? What's the problem there? What didn't translate from the NFL of college football to the actual NFL? I don't want to step on your toes, but I know Darren in the poll center had a Tebow poll ready. I'm not sure if he's unleashed it on the internet yet, because I still have internet access, so it hasn't crashed. So I'm guessing hasn't unleashed the
still
poll.
Running. Darren.
I'm holding it back, but I can unleash
let's
it.
Let's unleash the Tebow poll. I want the Tebow poll.
It's going.
All right. And it's a very simple Tebow poll. Very simple. Does he or doesn't he make the roster? And I want to know where Patriots fans weigh in on that. Because I think
one.
It's a legit question
it's
from
a good one.
For everybody.
It's a good one.
I mean, everybody that you talk to asks you about that. If they know, you know, I went, you know, the assistant baseball coach I was with, first thing they say, so is Tebow really going to make the roster? Like, he's the talk of the town. The AP, did you see that? The AP tweeted out a story with a link on Twitter from the official AP feed. Tebow survives Patriots cut to 75. Yeah. Like, that's the headline, that Tebow's still among those 75. I knew we knew we were getting this circus, but I'm still amazed by it every time it comes up.
Make sure you put in your vote, yes or no, on Tim Tebow. Will he make the roster?
Should have had a dual poll. Will he and should he? Because then I could have split my vote. He will, but he should not have.
And that would be perfect for Andy, because he likes to cover all bases.
Cover all the bases, Andy. That's how it goes. Facebook.com/
Wait, do you think he's going to make the team?
Patriots. I have no idea. I'm not even going to pretend to know. I have no idea.
I
mean, you know what I'm rooting for. Should he? No. Do I hope he does? I hope he doesn't. No, I don't want
but
him on the
will
team.
Will he? I didn't ask what you hope for.
Well, because I've started, and we talked a little bit about
you
this
last You were mocking
week.
Me for having split beliefs that he was going to make it and shouldn't have.
No, I pretend.
And it sounds like you sound like you
I
feel the same way.
I pretend to have no knowledge. I just have no knowledge. I have no idea.
Save that one.
Save that one, Kevin.
No knowledge.
When I'm in a fight with him, I want you to play. I have no knowledge.
Make sure you mark that on the tape.
I say no. But I
hope you're right, Paul.
I don't know why this is so personal to you.
Yeah, why do you hate him so?
I don't care.
Oh, he didn't take a picture with your kids, did he?
Waste.
I used to hate him.
Yeah.
Just a waste of time. Time, effort.
I just think
so it was a terrible signing.
It seems to be trending towards.
Oh, it was an awful signing.
Okay.
Awful signing, yeah.
I want to hear that.
Yeah,
boss's show.
But the only difference
I've
is
endlessly for weeks
I've
upon
said
time.
That. I've said that on the other program.
But you only think it's an
on.
Awful signing if he doesn't make the team. He
right.
thinks it's an awful signing no matter what.
Regardless, right. awful
you
signing.
You just have this warped thing where it's
It was a
awful.
Waste. You knew what you were getting when you signed him.
At least I'm on one side of that fence.
No, I'm on a very distinct island here.
Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
No one else seems to know what I'm talking about.
sitting on the incoherent
fence. Thoughts.
No, you
That's
signed
the island
him
you're on.
Knowing he sucked. Because if you did any scouting on him, you knew he couldn't throw, he couldn't run an offense, couldn't run a traditional offense, blah, blah, blah. And then you saw him in camp, and he couldn't throw, he couldn't run an offense, couldn't run a traditional offense, and then you cut him. So why'd you sign him? You saw what you knew you were going to see.
He hasn't been any worse than even you expected.
No, the man stinks.
He's been worse than I expected.
I just maybe a little, but I just assumed it's because I'm watching him like every throw now in practice. I never got to watch him every throw in practice. You know, he's game time Tebow, all that stuff.
He's
but
game time Tebow.
I just
there's another one of those voices.
You wasted an entire training camp where you could have had, and I'm not saying you miss the next Tom Brady, but there's been cases where undrafted rookie quarterbacks develop or what have you. So you wasted that position.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number. We have some calls waiting. Want to get to those. Seth is in Springfield, Vermont tonight. He's up next on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Hi, Seth.
Hello. I was actually calling about concussions because I think it's way overblown in the NFL because you can get a concussion anywhere. Like, I've had 11 concussions personally, and they were lacrosse, skateboarding, and mountain biking. And basically, if you're going to be participating in a dangerous sport, it's going to happen. And so I feel like it shouldn't be such a big deal because, brain injuries are going to happen.
Well, there's a difference
Seth,
between...
That's now, though. Okay, now you know these things. Now you know the danger of concussions and what they can be long-term. Did everybody know that 15 or 20 years ago? I mean, people knew concussions were bad. You didn't want to get them. But did they realize that just one concussion could do the kind of damage that would give you Alzheimer's or dementia or worse, CTE? Did people really know all the dangers?
And did they not know because people were either lying to them or withholding information? That was the premise of the lawsuit.
Right, and that's what you were talking about earlier, that these, there were sometimes team doctors that would say, you're fine, you're ready to go, get right back out there.
You got your bell rung.
Yeah, bat him on the back.
Get moving.
There's no such thing as just getting your bell rung anymore.
Hey, Seth. Oh, Seth's gone.
Seth fell off there. Seth's not with us anymore. But Brian
off there like he fell off his
bike.
Oh,
mountain biking. Brian's in Brighton tonight. Hi, Brian.
How you doing? How you guys doing?
Have you had any concussions, Brian?
Oh, quite a few.
I hear you, brother. Me too. I think it explains a lot, personally.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just as crazy as you are. What's it called? The difference in the case in the NFL was that, you got a concussion, and you were basically like in the the name's slipping me.
That's because you've been concussed.
Exactly.
It's the brain injuries.
I must have fallen down last night. No, but the whole case with Belichick and I want to say Bruschi, but
Ted Johnson.
Ted Johnson. Yeah.
Johnson, and the fact was he was kind of basically told that you're going to get cut if you don't get back out. And that's kind of where it's a little different in the NFL, I think.
Right. I mean, here's the thing, Brian. Thanks for the call. They reached the settlement today, and, they fixed the financial part of it. And we talked a little bit about how attitudes are changing with youth and high school players and all of that. But how do they fix that part of it where
they can't?
There are coaches saying, get back out on the field, or this guy's just not cutting it because he's dealing with a concussion and now he's out of a job.
You actually lost the ability to do that because now the guy can't sue.
Right.
Now so he could walk away. I mean, he's a human being, he has a choice, but if he wants to maintain his spot on a team or whatever, he almost lost his legal footing. Although I don't know that we really need to break this issue down completely today.
Yeah. John's in Iowa. Hi, John.
Johnny!
Yeah, hi, guys.
Have you been concussed?
Hey, I'm just calling. Well, first off, I'm a fan of the show. I recently started listening and enjoy it.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, I recently have been paying a lot of attention to Kenbrell Tompkins. He did awesome in that Lions game, probably one of the only positive things out of that game. And I'm just interested to see what you guys think about him making the roster, and if he does, how he's going to do with Tom Brady this year.
He is going to make the roster, and he's going to be a starter, in my opinion, opposite Danny Amendola, and has been the most consistent receiver other than Danny Amendola throughout the summer. And I really liked what I saw from him the other day, because I don't know if you were listening, but I was sort of bitching about his 5.2 yards per catch. And he made plays the other day. He got off the line, got behind defenses, and made plays, and I wanted to see that. So I thought he took a really positive step in Detroit, where about 75 other guys took a step backward in that game, and that was good.
Emails come in at webradio@patriots.com. Here's some questions and some comments. This from Peter in Northern Ireland. He says, I love the show as always. Just wondering what position battles will be worth watching tonight, as we know the game will be of questionable quality. Oh, and quick shout out to all the Canadians listening. Us Ireland U-20s just beat Canadian team at football. Ireland better than Canada at American football. Go figure.
Hashtag kick ass.
Hashtag PPGS. Put that on at the end there, too.
There's just, by the way, I'm assuming Brady's not going to play, but there is a lot of talk about how he's on the field and he's in full uniform and his ankles are taped, so he could play. And just to keep that out there, I'm guessing the reports are right and he's not going to play. As we said, 7 of the last 11, he didn't play. But people are really breaking down everything he's doing on the football field to warm up. And he is warming up, throwing to Amendola and those guys, but That doesn't really surprise me. The expect to play, prepare like you're going to play, that leads right up until the point where you don't play. You know, Belichick wants you to do that whole crap, you know, pregame.
Wait, you don't think he knows? You don't think he even knows now?
What?
If he's going to play?
No, I think he knows he's not going to play.
Oh, okay.
But you still have to. That's Belichick's thing. If he ever acted like he wasn't going to play right now, Bill would be pissed.
Oh, yeah.
If he was out there with his head back and a hot dog in his mouth, Bill would be pissed.
Well, see, to me, the fact that he, you know, and Eric had just tweeted that he seemed a little earlier than normal, that he was out there, that to me is in line with the fact that Jeff is probably right that he's not going to play, because this is when he's getting his work in. You know, they said he was working with Amendola and Edelman on the route that that Amendola caught the touchdown against Tampa Bay. I think Chris Price tweeted that. That makes sense to me. That if you're not going to play in the game, you want to get some rep work in right now and just, you know, knock the rust off.
Nick writes in at webradio@patriots.com. His email says, does the fact that Brady isn't starting mean Bill is going to be spending more time exposing guys like Dobson to injury without the possibility of showing anything because Tebow is the one, he puts this in quotes, throwing to him? Notice the intentional quotes, according to Nick. Is that a risk? You got to play the game. You got to put somebody out there,
and
right?
And you're going to get Mallett. Now, some would argue that Mallett puts receivers at risk.
He also wrote, I really hope Mallett isn't playing the whole game.
Yeah, that wouldn't bother me if he played the whole game. He probably will not. I think we're going to see a good chunk of Tebow. But, you know, some people believe, and Paul leads this charge, that Mallett could get people hurt because he's always throwing behind them. One of the things about Tebow's throws is they're generally
in such, like, ridiculously bad ways.
But one of the things with Tebow is when he's off significantly, no one gets hurt because, you know, there's no play on the football. When he throws it into the
there's
right
there's no tackling
flat,
to be right. done of the receiver.
When it bounces halfway to the receiver, everybody just stops and goes back to the huddle. It's easy that way.
Brian in Essex, Vermont writes in, anyone who fumbled last week should be in the game and used very heavily. Anyone who fumbles should be forced to remove their pads and take a Donald Jones-style hit from Vince Wilfork. They'll either learn the lesson or be seriously injured. Either way, a message will be sent. Thanks for the email,
it's a good
Brian.
Email. I like it.
And thanks to today's concussion settlement. If that happens, they can't sue.
Now that we know that future
no holds barred.
Future lawsuits will likely not be considered.
Yeah, that's an oddity there. There's something missing.
Something
in that
just doesn't seem right.
It doesn't pass the smell test. It doesn't smell
that's
right.
Danny and I's way of just saying, I don't know exactly what rule you just violated, but that doesn't pass the sniff
We're
test.
We're not lawyers, but that doesn't smell right. I do think all the fumblers will play. I mean, I don't think Shane Vereen is an established starter who's not going to play. I don't think Zach Sudfeld is an established starter.
I
would not put any of those on. If
Bolden is healthy, I don't know what Bolden's status
is. If Bolden's not healthy, then he won't play. But it won't be because he's, you know, considered among the Brady, Mankins, Wilfork group and just standing there laughing it up.
Melvin from Tennessee emailing in, I really want to see the tight ends become more involved in the passing plays. Hooman and Fells were non-factors last year, and I'm not seeing the production I heard about in practice. Also, the Patriots played very, very sloppy last week. I don't know if you guys knew that. Sloppy game last week.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Fumbling and a lot of missed tackles usually doesn't equal a very good game.
Yeah, Fells actually, the first game that he played, I thought did take his practice performance to the field. Unfortunately, he hasn't played since. He missed the next two games. But the first game, I think he had three catches and three targets. That's what we've seen during practice. He was catching everything that was thrown his way and looked very smooth doing so. Sudfeld was similar. I think those guys have caught passes in practice, and they caught him in the game when given opportunities.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number if you want to check in on the phones. Open lines for you, 855-PATS-500. The toll-free number, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, and make sure you're using the hashtag PPGS on Twitter. That's the hashtag you want to use. If you'd like to follow us, you could follow Paul on Twitter, although he doesn't tweet very often.
No.
At PFW Paul. Andy's on
but
Twitter.
I will answer your questions.
You
when
will.
You, when they ask me questions or they direct something specifically at me, I generally try to respond.
So you can ask Paul a question on Twitter at PFW Paul.
What kind of makeup do you use for TV?
I don't know. What kind?
A brand
Maybelline.
Name on that? Maybelline. He's a Maybelline man. Andy Hart on Twitter, at Jumbo Hart. I'm on Twitter, at Mark_Bertrand. You look good in your makeup. You're ready to go. This is the final television broadcast.
Big
you guys
one.
Will be
I
doing.
Have to do all access before we do our final television broadcast as well, so I'll be busy.
When are you leaving for that?
Between now and the start of the television
broadcast?
Should
you put
broadcast?
Your pants on?
next break I'll be putting my pants on.
Okay. This is another one of those days in
the
which...
The polls are coming out next break.
Oh, yeah.
We marked that on the tape?
That was Hartwell.
Did we mark that on the tape?
Is his mic always
wow.
open there?
Hartwell.
Get, listening in.
How's the Tebow
hey,
poll
get
going?
Get Tebow's poll ready for Andy. He's looking for it.
Tebow's poll is already. You want some preliminary results, or you want me to hold off?
No, why don't we hold off? Let's hold off. Right, we'll check in with the poll center coming up next. Also want to give you guys a little. We talked to. I can't believe Paul, of all people, asked a fantasy question earlier.
Yeah, that was weird.
In our interview with Paul Schwartz. Did you catch
very
that?
Weird.
Because Paul was not a fantasy guy.
No, but it basically, for me, I was just wondering who's going to be the back. I don't really care about the fantasy aspect. I asked it like that for you fantasy geeks.
Well, I've got some Patriots-related fantasy geek stats coming up next.
Great.
And also making news this week, a big article about Aaron Hernandez coming out in Rolling Stone. We'll touch on all of this.
Yeah, we'll touch on that briefly.
Touch on all of this coming up next.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
With power
comes responsibility. And NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, coming to you live from the Subway Fresh studios inside Gillette Stadium. where the Patriots take on the Giants tonight in the fourth preseason game of 2013. You want to call us? You can do that. 855-PATS-500, which is 855-728-7500. Locally, 508-298-0398. Send your emails in. Webradio at patriots.com. And don't forget that hashtag on Twitter, PPGS. Thank you, the Twitter sound effect. Andy is just getting his pants back on, which is a good sign for the show. We prefer everyone have pants on. And Andy has now completed that task of putting on his pants, so everyone can feel a little bit more comfortable in this studio now that Andy has done that. Make sure you catch Andy and Paul tonight.
Only one person was uncomfortable.
Broadcast.
That was you.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I think when you take your pants off, it makes everybody uncomfortable.
It's called a party when you take your pants off.
I thought you were going to put some fresh balls on there for a second, Andy. You can't hear me. You have no idea what I'm saying.
Had my headphones
off, too. I thought you were going to put some fresh balls on there for a second.
No, I put a little deodorant on, though. You know, it gets warm in the studio. They turn the TV lights on. There's not a good AC in
here.
You
want to smell good for Paul?
They can't smell you over the air.
I think we might have a big-time important guest coming in the studio tonight for the broadcast. So
really?
That's what I hear.
We'll be looking forward to that. Big time guests coming in to talk to the both of you guys. I don't know how big time it could be if they want to talk to you. Well, anyway, big story this week. There's a big story related to this team, but not about a member still on the team, and that is Aaron Hernandez. The saga continues with a story in Rolling Stone this week saying that Hernandez, a user of PCP, also some accusations that some people may have known something about him being a bad guy. Even one ludicrous thought that Bill Belichick told him to go get a safe house. The story is a little bit wild. Here's my question as it relates to this team and the guys that are still on it. This Aaron Hernandez story is still out there. It's still continuing. There's still a lot of coverage related to it. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, as I said, there are accusations or reports about things that are still related to the team, related to the coach or related to front office, etc. Does this have the chance to be something that, I wouldn't say just becomes a distraction, because I don't know how much of a distraction it would be. It's just kind of something that's going to continue. But does this story, will this at all unite the guys that are on this team as kind of the screw you to the world story that follows this team throughout the season? Because, Paul, I don't think this story is going anywhere. No matter what the Patriots do this year, this story is still going to follow them, right? I mean, is this thing, it's not going to go away.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the question. I would sort of hope not. I think there are enough things that should bond a team without, you know, something like this. There's nothing going on here that's of any disrespect to the guys that are in that locker room. You know, this is an Aaron Hernandez story. And I don't know. They'll probably find a way to make it like that because that's what teams do, professional teams. They tend to take on a us-against-the-world mentality. But, I really liked the way, just before training camp when the captain spoke, I liked the way they handled those questions about, can something like this, as tragic as it was, be a bonding point for the team? And they all said, listen, you know, we're not worrying about that kind of stuff. This is a much more serious thing. We're back to work. This is football. That's real life. And I like that attitude because it is so different. It's not about some team, you know, saying, well, geez, they picked us to not even make the playoffs. Use the ESPN, the magazine as a bonding element. They picked you to go 9-7 and not make the playoffs. Use that.
1-7 on the road.
1-7 on the road.
1-7.
That's good old bulletin board material. This is real life material. Stay away from it.
Yeah.
So that's honestly the question that I have because, you know, the last time they faced a story that chased them all year long was the other, you know,
the Spygate.
The Spygate story.
But at least that was football. That was related to, you know, people were questioning how good they really were. Were they only winning games because they were cheating? That's a bonding thing. That's something I think you can put on the bulletin board and say, they don't think you're good. They think that we had to use tape to win games. This is, you know, they're saying that a guy that used to play with you killed people. Well, he was arrested for it.
I've been meaning to talk to you about that. You should find yourself a safe house or a relative close
by. You know what? That's exactly the way it was written.
Because you're probably wanted for murder.
That's why I have
probably lay low for a while, find a safe house. I mean, that's exactly the way it was written. I was like, is this Ron Burgundy?
And honestly, it was almost word for word in the story. And which, I mean, I have some issues with the story itself. and some of the things that are in there, because I think something like that sounds so over the top and ludicrous. But I wonder if, you know, another player on this team reads that and says, they're not going to leave us alone about this thing, you know, or the news type's going to be asking these questions all year long every time some new piece of information or some, you know, something happens in court where something comes out where
it'll
they say.
It'll be interesting to see if that does happen. Where they it hasn't say, so far.
Right. Where they think to themselves, Paul, this has nothing to do with us. We didn't right. bring this on ourselves.
Right.
This is not where, you know, the Spygate thing was related to activities of the team. Okay. Players, coaches, everybody involved. And I understand why they could use that a little bit easier, but is it going to reach a point where they get sick of dealing with these reports and with the things talking about the Patriots where they say, we had nothing to do with this thing. And, you know, this we keep getting dragged into it, and I just thought maybe this is a way that they unite and have, you know, us against the world mentality to help them at some point during the season. Remains
Listen,
to be seen.
Yeah, it's possible. I just think there's such a big difference. What the team can do is, offensively, they need to move the ball through the air, and that eliminates the Aaron Hernandez part of the equation for questions. To my knowledge, there really haven't been any questions lingering that I've heard. Being in the locker room, and you know, I've been in the locker room every day. It's been open, and I haven't heard a lot of people asking specific Hernandez questions since
here's what I'm
since
curious
the start
about.
Of camp.
Tonight after this game in that locker
you
room.
You think there'll be questions
then,
about this?
And I'm not talking about from the sports guys, you know, because honestly, I just think that when you have to cover the games, that's the last thing you're thinking about asking after a game
right.
is something related. I'm talking about, you know, the local news types, the Byron Barnetts of the world that show up and start asking questions unrelated to the game or what happened. I'm curious, are those people here tonight? Are those people going to be talking in that locker room?
I don't think so. I don't know. What do you think, Andy? You think those guys will be around tonight?
No.
You don't think the news vultures? I mean, No. It's a good thing if they're not.
I don't think they will be. I think they've moved on to another topic. And I'm not sure a Rolling Stone article is enough to bring them back out of it.
Well, I think the drug allegations are something that would bring the story back
It
out.
Was enough to bring
no,
them
the
here.
The story is back
They were
up.
All here yesterday.
Right.
But there was
post
no
game?
There was no. They're not going to be
there
here post
no,
game. I don't
like,
think. There was no press conference yesterday.
Right. There was no press conference. There was no access to the players. But that's the example of it. They showed up here yesterday, right?
Right.
And those aren't the sports types. So do they?
Well, I don't. I mean, all the trucks were here. I don't know who the personnel.
But they do that for everything. If you mention Gillette Stadium in anything, oh, we got to do a live shot from Gillette Stadium.
Gotta
we can't just
there.
Talk about it. We have
live.
To show that it is actually still there and it's right behind us. We got to spend millions of dollars on that.
Tiger Woods, y'all, with Robert Kraft.
Tiger Woods is here?
Standing right there, right?
Ugh. Ugh.
Deutsche Bank Championship.
A couple quick,
this weekend,
quick
not
quotes.
Too far from here.
Bill Belichick appears on our competition, the one that Paul Perillo also appeared on earlier today, the pregame show over on the Real Rate Terrestrial Radio. One of the things he apparently said was,
I don't know anything about that.
Overall, this is one of the better training camps he's been a part of. He also had a, where did it go? Damn you, Twitter. On Dowling. It was a frustrating training camp for Razai. Showed he's a good football player, but didn't work out, was his answer on Razai Dowling.
I would say that's accurate. Let me give you the...
I wouldn't. When did he show he was a good football player?
I didn't say it. Bill Belichick
what,
said
no, no, read it again. What did he say?
Showed he was a good football
yeah,
player, but it didn't work out.
No, player, but didn't work out.
Oh, well, yeah, the first part. The part about not working out is what I'm saying is accurate.
How can it be a good training camp if he didn't work out?
He didn't work out.
Unbelievable. He really is unbelievable.
You know he's going to say the same. Did you expect him to say, actually, he had a miserable summer, he's a terrible player, and
but I would just
it should have worked out. Like, you knew what he was going to say.
He couldn't get himself on the field, and we had to make a move. Where did he show to be a good football player?
I don't know, Paul.
Well,
you'll have your opportunity to ask Bill Belichick post-game.
Yeah, and you know that's not going to happen, so why,
yes,
do you,
I do.
Why do you have to go into that?
All right, you ready for my Fantasy Geeks stats for you?
Sure. Not really.
You're ready for this.
I'm ready.
All right, and this is according to the fantasy drafts this year at NFL.com, drafts that have already taken place. Who do you think is the highest drafted Patriot?
Tom Brady.
Out of all the Patriots players, who is being drafted the highest?
Stephen Ridley.
Paul would be correct. Paul's proving to be a fantasy expert here.
A losing one.
Here's the list in order.
1-0 career.
Okay, Stephen Ridley, average draft position, Paul. You heard of that? ADP?
Isn't that who pays us too? I log into their website
yes.
or something.
They get a paycheck there. 26th overall is his average draft position, Paul,
okay.
in fantasy drafts. After that,
That doesn't seem high.
No, the players that are doing it are high.
It's average in the that would average out to be the third
former
round.
Player was anyway.
Like, why? I don't know. I just wouldn't feel good about making that pick.
About Ridley?
Yeah. I know he had 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns.
Starting running back.
Is that all it's about?
That's all it's about.
Okay. So when starting he fumbles 10 back. Times and he's out of the game, or when Shane Vereen cuts into his carries or LeGarrette Blount cuts into his carries, no one's cutting into anything Tom Brady does.
And by the time you get to the 26th pick of your fantasy draft, the running back spot is looking thin. It's looking thin. That's what this is about. So here's the order.
Wait, so Brady doesn't go in the first three rounds of
fantasy
football?
Running backs are more important, I guess.
Far more important. Brady goes, he's second on the list, averaged at 32. 32nd pick overall, which is the fourth round. So here's the list in order. Ridley, Brady, Gronkowski, Amendola, Steven Goskowski, kind of high there, being the fifth on the list. Kind of high. Followed by the defense, the team New England defense.
Kind of high there.
Shane Vereen, Kenbrell Tompkins, Zach Sudfeld, Tim Tebow.
Oh, my God.
Average draft position, 150. That's the 16th round. So that's the last round stuff. That's your just
but isn't that
guy
where you're supposed to take your kicker?
Yes, that's where you're supposed to.
Or take a player who might actually do something?
And then Aaron Dobson. So Tebow is higher than Dobson on the list. And as we just
that's
mentioned.
That's just stupid. I mean, Aaron Dobson has not looked good of late, but he legitimately could be one of the top two or three receivers on this football team with a quarterback who generally puts up numbers to whoever he's throwing to. Whereas Tim Tebow gets drafted ahead of him for.
But couldn't you also see him? I'm not saying it's going to happen, but couldn't you see him catching like 10 touchdowns?
Who?
Like, Dobson.
That's what I'm saying. There's
like,
a chance.
All of a sudden,
there is no chance Tim Tebow will be productive.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense.
Even if Brady and Mallett die and he has to play,
let's hope that
he will not be productive because he was not productive with the Broncos. He was not productive with the Jets. He was not productive on the practice field. He was not productive on the preseason game field.
Is that rant over, Paul? I'm not sure.
Usually when he stops, it's...
He was productive in college.
No, it's
I said usually.
It's not over yet. So there you go. Also, Aaron Hernandez getting drafted at the same spot that Zach Sudfeld has been getting drafted. I don't understand that part at all, how in which he is getting drafted. And also...
What did you just say?
Sudfeld and Hernandez getting drafted at the same spot.
Aaron?
They're averaging the same
Aaron
draft
Hernandez
slot.
Is getting drafted?
He's getting drafted at an average of 149 in the draft position.
So that means people, they just want to make a joke. They just
but,
draft
but
him.
Then there's...
no one could possibly think there's a even 0.1% chance that he could play, right?
So
that,
this
well,
year,
listen to
there's
this.
No chance.
So
now, are
to
these
this.
Keeper leagues?
These are drafts, so they have to actually be selected in a draft, so not as a keeper.
No, but I'm saying, would there be a fantasy value if you think Hernandez is going to go free to drafting him?
Maybe.
I don't know how that works.
I mean, I still don't think there's any value in that because I don't think he's ever going to play again. But if he did, it's going to be 3 or 4 years.
It's not going to be the next year or the year after, most likely. Here's something, which, again, this makes no sense. If you are looking at in an auction draft where you get a budget and you spend normally, you know, $200 of budget, you know, drafting dollars. Paul, I know you love this talk.
Love this talk.
Listen to this. If you
had to
rank them,
dozed off of it.
If you had to rank them in order, prices of these players. Brady's actually first at $36.
Okay, so explain that to me.
I don't
Mr.
know.
Fantasy
I don't get
guy.
That.
If
I don't,
he's more
I don't
valuable
get...
in one, how is he not more valuable in the other?
Doesn't make any sense. Ridley second, right behind him at $32. Gronkowski fourth at $28. And then that's third. Gronkowski's third at $28. And then fourth is Hernandez.
These things are just dumb.
They're not dumb. They're not dumb.
I just. Don't really.
Whoa!
I'm Ralph Wilson here.
You're
I don't
saying
really
something
understand
that something that proves that drafting a guy who's in jail and won't play for years is smart, not dumb.
No, that part is dumb. I'm just saying that.
So the rest of it's dumb.
The
that is an indicator in the value of your numbers.
Talking about fantasy numbers is not dumb. It's not dumb.
Well, and this isn't even really talking about fantasy numbers. We're talking about where
talking
people
about
drafted
where
them.
The interest is in Patriots players in fantasy drafts nationwide.
Now that's dumb.
We're going inside the press box.
That's dumb.
Speaking of dumb.
Let's talk to Eric Scalavino as we get ready for Giants-Patriots preseason game number 4 tonight at Gillette Stadium. Eric is in the press box. Eric, would you draft Aaron Hernandez on your fantasy team?
What kind of – have you been drinking, Mark?
No, but apparently somebody has.
Drinking the people, fantasy Kool-Aid.
People are drafting Aaron Hernandez.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
there are a lot of weird people who follow this team. That's all I'll say.
And in this world in general.
Yeah,
and some of them are sports
too, yeah.
fans. But more importantly, Eric, a lot of hubbub about Tom Brady. The reports that he wasn't going to play, and then everybody sort of tweeting about how he's on the field and he has game pants on, which people always like to tweet, and then taped ankles and various things. What's the latest on Tom Brady?
He's warming up like a guy who's fixing to start.
Exactly.
Like me. Yeah.
Fixing to start, but will not start.
Well, maybe not. We'll see.
This feels like one of those ruses where Bill says, you know, everybody better get out there and warm up like they're going to play, and then mm-hmm. you won't play.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. I mean, it's an elaborate ruse, though, to go to the degree of taping a guy's ankles.
Have to be ready to play. They're in uniform. I mean, the players that are in uniform have to be ready to play.
Well, we have seen times, though, where guys come out there and they don't have taped ankles, or they have, like, you know, the socks rolled down. They're clearly not playing, and they're not, you know, in uniform to the degree that they normally would be, or they're at least not taking it seriously like they normally would be. Brady certainly is, and he's running through 7-on-7 reps right now with all the first-team offense against the first-team defense. I mean, everybody's doing what they normally would do at this point in warm-ups.
Eric, give us a quick rundown of guys that you have not yet set eyes on and believe aren't going to play.
First, let me just start with guys who are dressed, because I think that's a significant one. Alphonso Dennard, who we haven't seen all summer, in preseason games at least. He's in uniform, and, you know, whether or not he does anything obviously remains to be seen, because he hasn't really done much in practice. But that is at least significant for him to be at the point where he can do that much. We have not seen Jermaine Cunningham. That's pretty big for him, because he hasn't really done anything at all to speak of all summer, and doesn't bode well for his chances of making the team. Justin Francis also not seeing. Brandon Bolden, a guy who a lot of people believe was a lock, or was at least ahead of Brandon Bolden. Ahead of LeGarrette Blount, some people believe. I wasn't one of them, but he's not out there. And Nate Ebner, a guy who one of you guys was obsessed with a week or two ago, is not dressed and not out there either. So those are and obviously Rob Gronkowski, not a part of that either. But as far as guys who are struggling to make the team, Cunningham, Bolden, Ebner, Francis maybe even on the bubble, although I think he probably has the best chance of that group to make it. None of those guys are in uniform today.
Okay, I've decided that since I can't beat him, I'll join him. Give me the Tim Tebow update and warm-ups and let me know what he's doing out there.
At the moment, he is standing and watching Ryan Mallett pro passes. And prior to that, he came out pretty early, shortly after Brady came out with that rehab group, very, very early, about 2.5 hours before kickoff, and was doing a lot of running, sprinting, started to throw a few passes later on when Danny Amendola came out, and then had a long talk with Mike Mayock. So, I mean, that's obviously not going to help him. but he hasn't been really doing a whole lot. He just now got under the center and threw a pass to actually there was nobody out there. He threw it to Logan Ryan, who just returned it for a pick.
Oh, good. So he's in game form. Okay. Give us a little weather update, because our host, Mark Bertrand, has I believe the word he used was dank, and I don't really know what that means. So can you tell me what the weather is?
Well, it's overcast. It's foggy / misty.
Could it be described as dank, Eric? That's the question.
Yeah, I suppose it could be.
Are we playing on the moors here? And
it does. It's a very Scottish feel to it right now. Yeah.
Oh, good.
No rain. There hasn't been any rain. It's actually pretty clear. It's just kind of damp, humid, I guess, be another way to put it, but not a great night for football.
And it's not going to be great football, so I think it all fits together nicely in the fourth preseason game here.
Absolutely. Can't wait for it to be over with.
All right, Eric Scalavino joining us from inside the press box. Eric, thanks for taking a couple minutes.
Okay, guys, next week we'll do it for real.
No, next week it
counts. Oh,
yeah. It counts. Get ready. Eric Scalavino from inside
the press box.
Did you call
him Elric?
I may have.
Or Eldridge?
Or
Eldridge?
It. Well,
Eldridge Woods?
Speaking of Eldridge Woods, he's in the building tonight.
Yes, he is.
Tiger is here.
Good thing I don't have my camera. He'd yell at me.
I believe it's Eldrick, isn't it? Not Eldridge.
It is. You're right.
Eldridge.
Tiger.
Who cares?
You're right, Paul.
Yeah, why are we getting caught up on those
DB.
Matters? Oh, sorry.
Hey, we should sign him. We could use a DB.
Could use a DB.
Jonathan
got Paul?
A lot of Jonathan Kraft's comments are starting to come out on Twitter. He appeared at 7 o'clock on the Sports Hub pregame show.
Never heard of him.
Basically, he said there were two, three,
kidding.
Four things that were inaccurate.
Well, let's hear it.
In the story, would not get into specifics. One thing he said was that Belichick did not hire Mark Briggs. I'm not sure it said that in the story. I'd have to go back and check that.
Well, it insinuated that it said, was his choice.
Yeah, his guy or his something was.
Yeah,
sort of
I'm not sure that I read it that way, but you guys might be right.
Doesn't matter how you read it, Paul. It matters what it says on paper.
It matters what the English language says.
And that's exactly what I said. I'd have to go back and check. I thought it simply said that he replaced Frank Mendes.
Oh, no, there was
no,
more
no,
than
there
that.
Was.
Definitely more than
they
that.
They made it out to sound like Belichick had decided to
okay,
fire
Okay, again,
Mendes
I'll go back
Briggs.
With your English language. Did they make it out to sound like that, or is that the interpretation that you took? All right, then. That's why I want to go back and check.
I'll get the text.
He also says that Hernandez did not reach the minimum, which I think is the most interesting thing, to get his bonus, his workout bonus. He participated in 25 of the 33. The contract says it needed to be 90% as stipulated in the contract. So he did not earn his 82,000 whatever bonus that is now in question. So he did miss practices, as the story indicated.
Or workouts.
Right.
I mean, that could be a lifting workout in the off-season program, the first week of the off-season program.
So I don't know if that's one of the inaccuracies, but, you know, evidently that might be the grounds that the Patriots are going to stand on to try to
They're flying in fast and furious.
Try to leave him away from try to keep that money away from him.
Kraft, quote, Bill would never threaten to cut a player 12 months after an extension. There was another one about the safe house.
Belichick said he never went to him to say his life was in danger, too, according to Jonathan.
Oh, yeah, this just said that he would have gone to team security instead of suggesting, quote, a safe house.
Well, I mean, part of that is a safe house allegation that he had been told to get a safe house. That was, what, February at the Combine? What month is that?
Correct, February.
February.
End of February.
He didn't rent that place until May. So he what?
Investigative reporter Mark Bertram
told to rent a place, and then he waited 3 months to do it.
I've been
and
meaning
that was why?
To talk to you about
because
that.
Usually you're of right mind when you're on PCP, but you know, I just think the hoops that people are jumping through to try to discount every element of this story to me is fascinating.
Because people hate the
absolutely
Rolling
fascinating
stone around here after the marathon
and
debacle.
I put me at the top of that list.
I think that's, I honestly that think list. That is in some way. Tied to it. I also think the Ron Borges angle is.
And
a
now
part
Jonathan
of it.
By evidently is saying he didn't really even read the article. He says the stuff I know about the article is just completely factually inaccurate. So did he not even read it? I'm wondering. Listen, this is going to be an ugly, ugly mess. And one thing that I agree with sort of the haters to not lump everybody in one category, but the people that sort of think that the Patriots should have done something about this, these things are going to come out. Because I think there's going to be litigation, and some of these facts and whatnot, I think are going to come out, whether it be a civil case or something. This is going to be a bad, bad time for our employer, and it ain't good. It just ain't good.
Before we wrap things up here, do want to
probably get, don't want to end on that note.
Do want to get Chester in Oregon back on because he's tried to get in touch with us a couple of times. Chester, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, what do you got?
What's going on? Hey, Mark with a C real quick. I just wanted to applaud you on being on time today. one more offense, I was going to nickname you Sergio Brown. Cause
what do you mean? I was on time. I was on time last week too, Chester.
I know, man. I'm just saying, you know, it's 4 weeks in the preseason, and so far you're batting 500.
He's
right?
Now breaking even. He's now 2-2.
Anyway, well, since you guys spoiled my punchline, I was just going to say.
He stepped on his Sergio Brown
Sergio
line.
Sergio Brown, because that's the only guy I noticed later and getting to his coverage. Anyway. listen, I caught in late on Eskow's report, but did I hear that LeGarrette Blount is not suited up tonight? Is that right or no?
No, no sign of Brandon
okay.
Bolden tonight.
Okay, great.
You may have also missed that Eric Scalavino was the only one who thought that Blount was better than Bolden right from the start. He was never questioning
Paul's
that in any way.
You may have also missed when Paul's panties officially bunched up. Yeah.
He knew evidently that Brandon Bolden was going to get injured and
by
miss
the way,
entire
I got that
preseason.
Text from the Rolling Stone.
What does it say? Oh, I'm curious about that real quick because I got
to
go.
Sure, let me read it to
what
you.
What does it say?
It says, like most of Belichick's recent gestures, this would come back to burn him. He'd lose Gronkowski and Hernandez to injuries, but the seeds of the fiasco were sown years earlier when Belichick replaced the Pats security chief
okay.
with a tech-smart Brit named Mark Briggs.
There you go.
That's what the text says.
Yeah. Wow. I'm glad that you looked it up because it didn't sound like that. It said that. There's a difference. There's a big difference. I stand corrected. I didn't remember reading that. I thought it. No. I'm going to leave this one alone because I have a severe fear for my job. It's really hanging in the balance over the next week or so.
Just
the laughable way that people are trying to dispute this story to me is that it just doesn't make any sense. Well, don't do any research to find out if it makes sense. Just say it doesn't make sense.
A lot of it doesn't make sense.
To me, a lot of it does. I think this guy was a raving sociopath.
Careful, man. I don't want you getting a stroke over there. I know Father Time's not on your side.
Won't get him.
To me, Hernandez was a raving sociopath to me, and anything that is written about him, I'm going to believe.
Yeah, it's becoming glaringly more and more the case as we hear more.
But we'll keep defending him and draft him in our fantasy drafts.
Chester, thanks for the call. Yeah, it's so. Paul is checking out of the program.
Well, I gotta go.
He's gotta go do some TV
might only
work.
Need one of the chairs tonight. I'm not sure Paul's gonna make it back.
I don't know. Paul is he is worked up tonight. Love
hot
the passion,
and bothered.
Paul. Love the passion. Way to bring it tonight.
You'll see that passion on All Access, I guess, like right now.
On the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Justin Tebow.
Yeah, we got to get to the Tebow
poll before we leave. We got to get to the Tebow poll.
That's the highlight of the show.
Right now, before we sign off, Darren, what do you have in the poll center?
All right, real quick. Will Tim Tebow make the 53-man roster? 41% say yes. 59% say no.
I like it.
I don't think they're right.
I don't care about that. I just like their effort. I like
that's
their response.
That's interesting to me. You know, I would have thought it would have been that he makes it. Although he's been so bad, and fans have noticed.
For so long, I had thought that if they brought him in, he was on the roster.
That's how I feel.
I'm starting to think maybe they brought him in to get him under their own roof and really take a look under the hood, so to speak. But really see if there's anything there.
Didn't you see the car didn't run very well before you got it here?
Maybe Belichick. I mean, I know Josh McDaniels has worked with him. I know he's had firsthand experience. Maybe Bill Belichick wanted
it's
to
been
see
a lemon.
It for himself.
Always been a lemon, always will be a lemon. But
Move
the lemon
on.
Might stay, and
Move
they might
on.
Make lemonade.
When we do this again next week, Andy, we'll know if he's here or not.
It's exciting.
And we'll be able to find
Tune
out.
Tune in this weekend. Patriots.com. We'll have all your cut coverage on the blog. Be there.
All right, and I'll be here after the game. Again, coming to you live in the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll be taking your calls on the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll be taking your emails, webradio@patriots.com. And I will talk to you then post-game, same place, right here on Patriots.com. For Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. We got Hartman in the poll center.
Hartwell, but you know
what did I say?
Hartman.
Hartman.
Close.
What did I say?
Close. Hartman.
Hartman.
That's just Hartwell.
Darren, you know I love you.
D-Money.
D-Money. We're going to start calling him D-Money. That's a lot easier. Back here for the post-game. Don't miss it. And then, of course, next week we'll do the whole Dunkin' Donuts social thing again. Hopefully Paul calms down. He's got to go to TV.
And he could die. Look at him. He's old.
Just,
he's overweight.
Just like Chester said, time's not on his side. That guy, he's going to relax.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots take on the New York Football Giants.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune in to Patriots.com radio for the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand immediately following the game.
28 seconds remaining. Empty backfield. Three receivers near side right. Pass lead by six. Snap to Fitzpatrick looking over the middle. Fires to the right. Intercepted in the end zone. Intercepted by Devin McCourty.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.